You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After a tight race, President Erdogan and his right-wing Nationalist Justice and Development Party, AK Party, have won the second runoff of Turkey's presidential election. Erdogan, who has been in power for 20 years, has been accused of dismantling human rights protections and democracy by cracking down on critics and political opponents. I spoke to Associate Professor of Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland, Stephen Hoadley, about the current political climate in Turkey. First, I asked Hoadley what Erdogan has been like as a leader.
Well, Erdogan is a bit of a disappointment. I'm thinking back 20 years since he became Prime Minister and then later President. And at that time, Turkey, with the fall of the Soviet Union, was a staunch NATO ally. It was an applicant for membership in the European Union. It was definitely pro-West. It was secular. It was modernizing. It looked like this was the poster child for a democratic Muslim country, unlike some Muslim countries that have anti-democratic tendencies. And so we had a great hopes that Turkey would set the stage and lead the way to Muslim countries adopting democracy, accepting Western ways, participating in the global economy. Well, all of that began to change. About a decade ago, Erdogan began to emphasize his Islamic credentials. His wife covered, and other the president of Turkey covered as well. The president's wife covered as well. Islamic institutions were sponsored, and the Turkey has turned much more strongly in a more orthodox direction with regard to religion, and this has also caused a change of foreign policy, that is, a greater skepticism towards the West, towards Israel, towards the United States, which has puzzled a lot of people. And certainly from the point of view of the Western Europeans, of the United States, Turkey then is not moving in a direction that we feel is sympathetic. And that's why I say that Erdogan's re-election against a much more democratic, Western-leaning, liberal opponent is a disappointment.
Then I asked Hoadley about Erdogan's relationship with other countries.
Turkey is an interesting case. It's a member of NATO. Therefore, it should be condemning Russia's attack on Ukraine the way the NATO alliance has done. But Turkey buys its energy, its oil and gas from Russia at discounted prices. Turkey's getting a really good deal from Russia that's desperate to sell its energy because the Europeans have stopped buying it. So Turkey has been very careful not to condemn Russia. It also has very close relations with the Palestinian Authority, with Hamas in the Gaza Strip, much to the consternation of the Israeli government that previously had a pretty good relationship with Turkey, to the extent that the Turks allowed the Israeli Air Force to conduct some exercises in Turkish airspace at one happier time before the MS Marmara incident a decade ago. So relations have deteriorated with Israel. Turkey also has close relations with Iran. Again, it purchases energy from Iran, which is distressing to the West, which has sanctioned Iran for its nuclear weapons development program and its long-range missile program. And consequently, Turkey has become a very uncertain ally. Well, Erdogan on his side says, well, we don't need to be a member of the European Union, but we can link up with Russia, Kazakhstan, Iran, countries in our region. We can be a regional leader. We don't need the Europeans. And we should stop begging them for entry into the European Union. So the feeling of antipathy of the Europeans and the Americans towards Turkey is reciprocated by Erdogan and his party, and consequently Erdogan is buying Russian air defense systems. The United States has refused to sell their top-of-the-line fighter aircraft, the F-15, to Turkey. And relations are not hostile, but they're definitely cooling all the time. And the re-election of Erdogan is not a good sign. It's going to make the cooling of relations between Turkey and what we loosely call the Western world cooler over time. And we're going to have to work hard to keep Turkey in a more neutral stance, avoiding Turkey moving strongly towards, say, Russia, Iran, and China, because this, of course, would not be in the interest of the Western coalition.
Lastly, Hoadley discussed Aotearoa's relationship with Turkey.
As far as I can see, the relationship is cordial. The Gallipoli exercises continue each year. Trade is not large, but it's worthwhile. The diplomatic relations continue, and that the two governments have I think quite a civil relationship based on the tragic history of the Gallipoli landings in World War I. And other alliance in World War II and other common interests. So I think the New Zealand government would probably take the same position as the Western world does, that they hope that the Turkish government will moderate, will not move too strongly towards Russia or towards China, will not be too entangled with Iran, will not give too much assistance to the Palestinian Authority and foment violent confrontations in the Israel-Palestine theater, will be moderate in fighting the Kurds in Syria, which has irritated the United States because the United States regard the Kurds as good allies in the fight against ISIS and Islamic radicalism. So I think a New Zealand government would share most of these views, although in a fairly discreet and quiet way. That New Zealand government is not one for megaphone diplomacy, for grand pronouncements, aside from the pronouncement that New Zealand has an independent foreign policy. But aside from that, I think the relations between New Zealand and Turkey will continue pretty much on an even keel, despite the re-election of Erdogan.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.